Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton Rouge.
Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or Daddy, host of this wonderful show, Inside the Inner City. And we talk about a lot of topics that affect us as Bahamians. We talk about solutions and we find the problems that are occurring in our country. And sometimes they come in different phases. Like, for instance, it'd be in Tribune this week, the Guardian that week, out next week, or in social media. So I'm a strategist and I try to find the problems and identify them to see that they are all connected so that we can find alternative solution so that we can move forward. And sometimes the small things, an indication of how the country is deteriorating it's just deteriorating based on the murders, child abuse, corruption. Also, we have to include the church not being able to reach the less fortunate and to also inspire them to put their trust in God and in Jesus. Many people have lost their way and are just living day to day. And we need to find a way and how we can get the spirits uplifted again in this, up again in this country again to show more love and kindness. As of now, we are a country of a lot of chaos. And like I said, we need to find alternative solutions. So I read the newspaper and I look at the problems we face. And then I'm going to talk about some of the problems we're facing today and also some of the solutions that the government and opposition is talking about, a 10-point plan that structures new policing. Means they want to redefine the police force so that the police force can be credible again to the citizens, meaning us, you know, for us to build trust again in the police force. And I guess they want to bring training back. They want to uplift the morals of the officers, teach them discipline. They're also trying to teach them how to use non-lethal force. They're looking to train them in a specific way to use tasers, how to disarm or to apprehend individuals without using deadly force, because you know the police over here shoot first and ask questions later. And in many of the cases we have seen, based on the ruling of the coroner's court, after they've done the investigation, we have seen numerous officers who are being charged with murder by manslaughter. So it indicates that there's a serious problem going on in the force. Some of these matters are being considered to be turned over to be criminal matters. So these officers could go and face criminal matters now. I mean, they'd have to go face murder by manslaughter before a court. And based on that, it means that something wrong was going on with the police force. And in many of these cases, some of these cases were unjustifiable killing, means that these officers themselves, you know, kill innocent people in the line of duty. And because of that, they want to make changes to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Not only that, we have senior officers who are being charged with very serious offenses in the country as well. So, as you can see, they want to work on these deficiencies they see on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, also the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, because they also was involved. So, with all this that I'm saying is that, you know, 10-point plan also deals with immigration, second chance, empowerment, and et cetera, and et cetera. So both parties, the opposition and the Progressive People Party, have come up with their 10-point plan. And it's to try and see how we can curb the crime problem that we're facing in the country. Before I begin the show, I just want to say something that happened last week with a particular caller, a young lady. You know, she asked a very good question. And sometimes people not catch you off guard, it's just that we have something in a conversation on the matter. I didn't have the time to really respond to her the way I needed to respond to her. And many of those who they were listening, you know, might look at me and say certain things that I'm on radio, and why would a guy like me, you know, be on radio talking with certain matters, because they had the past experience. But I just want to give a clarity of my personality when I was one of the leaders of the Border Boy Gangs and put it in context. And then I'm going to go to the topic. We had a young, you know, I was having a discussion last week on the gang culture. A Pacific young man got killed, high-profile young man got killed. And I was telling them, say, once you in the gang world, you know, and you become a leader, and you involved with illegal activities, drugs, firearms, you know, and if you are involved in conspiring to take another human life, you would start off good in a 5 to 10 year period where you would be on top. But eventually, something will go wrong in your crew where one of your best friends or someone in your crew will take you out. And I was having a discussion last week, and I was talking about how many guys were involved in the gang activity when we were leaders. The gang they were particularly talking about last week with the alleged person who's now deceased, and condolences to the family, to the young gentleman, as well as the many Bahamians who have lost their life this year alone to homicide. So my condolences also goes with each and every one of you. I know that you are going through a very hard and difficult time, and time will heal. So I just want to give my condolences. I know what you're going through. I lost a lot of loved ones in the country as well. So, yeah. You know, I kind of get a little emotional talking about these topics because, you know, it brings up a lot of past. And I have to talk about my past because what's happening today is just like my past started today. And this was like 25 years ago. And it's just like the same thing yesterday. Some things have escalated, you know, based on the population. But let me get back to what I was trying to say. So I talked about the normal shooting that I was involved with when I said in my lifetime, I think I was involved in 26 or 27 different shooting incidents. That's true. Those 27 different incidents, many of the time I was running for my life. You know, sometimes I was shooting at individuals who were shooting at back at. We were shooting at one another. And many of those times, you know, where we were picking so much trouble, there were so many times where so many other guys who were just like us, who were bad just like us, doing the same thing just like us, just living in a different community, they would come and take a shot at you. You know, and sometimes you would never want, you could have been on your guard with your gun in your waist. It didn't make a difference if you had your gun in your waist, because the element of surprise wouldn't allow you to. You know, you would probably have to dive over a wall, take a few steps before you would have a chance to even reach in your waist to even get your pistol out. And this has happened to so many different young men who believe in gun, you know. So me, as a young man growing up in the community, I'm more like was a protector in the gang. I didn't participate in rape. I didn't participate in armed robberies. I didn't participate into being a person who was disrespectful to old persons or younger persons. I was not a child molester, okay? I wasn't an abusive. I was a respectful young man. The only problem I had, I was very violent. You know, anytime anyone come to me and someone mess with them, that's me. You know, I just was a very violent person. I was never a criminal who went out there to harm nobody who ain't doing me no wrong, because at that particular time, we had a turf war going on, and you didn't even have to be a part of the gang. Just living in the community, you would have been a target. Okay, and that's how it was back in the days. Where you live, it's what decide what's going to happen to you, okay? So it caused all of us to get into the gang life because we had to protect ourselves, you know, because there were other gangs who were taking over the inner city community, like the Rebellion Raiders, you know, they were taking over. They had hundreds and hundreds of young men led by Kelsey Lundy at that particular time. And there were other gangs in other communities as well. So when the lady said that if we were ever locked up, I just want to tell her I was locked up for many serious cases in the country. Some of the most high-profile cases I was locked up. Because sometimes when you are a leader, you would have individuals come to you who had a different field. I might have been a gangster and a violent person, but the person who come around me is a murderer, a straight-up murderer, or a straight-up raper, or a straight-up armed robber. So when you're in a gang, you have all these individuals come around you. They just want to be around you. Okay? So you'd have murderers around you, you would have guys who do armed robbery around you, then you have some stinking guys who you can't trust them, they're just scummy, they ain't on no one side, they just come to get information, get it to somebody else, and if you don't watch who they wipe with everyone. So, yeah, when she asked if I was ever before the courts, I was locked up, I think in my lifetime, for violent offenses. I'm talking stabbing, shootings, fighting a lot, questioned for murder a few times, attempted murder. Sometimes these things ain't had nothing to do with me, but the individual around me did these particular incidents. You know, a lot of guys hanging around you, so you can't control everyone. You can't control everything that's going to happen in the gang. Sometimes you're just looking right there, and all of a sudden, one of your friends over there, he's having a fight, and then someone yucks out the gun, fire the gun before you even a chance to even get there. They even de-escalate the situation. I was also a de-escalator. I saved so many lives. Anyone can tell you how many lives I saved, even as a top gangster. I stopped Sergeant Mushi from Mushi McKinney, killing a few guys. I stopped Douglas. I stopped many guys who were going to do murder. Stopped Shadi from Get Kelly's, now deceased. You know, I saw these same guys who named them, calling they all deceased. You know, like, you know, they didn't listen and they kept doing what they was doing. Eventually, your rope will come to end. Eventually, your rope will come to end. You know, save so many lives. I was also de-escalator. Many times in the clubs, I'd be the first one to talk to the guys who is our enemy. And I would de-escalate. But if there's a problem kick up, I would be the first one to start. I was hot, very, very hot head. I've been in hundreds of fights, okay? And that's all we used to do. So, far as I said, me and get locked up, I was locked up many, many different times for, like I said, for certain violent crime. But I was never arrested for armed robbery. I was never arrested for rape. Okay? Never. They was not my field. I despise those things. Guys who were in the border boys were rapers and armed robbers. I had a problem with those guys. Okay? I had a problem with them. Especially the rapists. I had a problem with them. They had to leave the community and leave the area. Child molesters can't live in Grandstand where they live. And anyone can tell you this now, there's no child molester that can live in Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. Because in our community, we have established that no child molesters is going to be in our community, because that's how we are. We are a family in that community. That's what we establish. And these things, what I did when I was a gang leader, I protected the old in my community. I protected the young. Our break-ins in the community, I despised that as well. So persons who were breaking and guys were breaking, we barred them out of the community. Once we know who they were and they break an old poison house in the community, we barred them. We went looking for them. Some of them, I won't even tell you what we did with them, but they got a good whooping. And we barred them out of the community. Anyone bought up with any little girl, wise people, gangsters on the streets, eh? You barred. Prime example, our golden girl, Debbie Ferguson McKenzie, she lived in the Grandstand community. Okay? She practiced running. Debbie Ferguson McKenzie, who won the gold medal, she practiced in the Grandstand community. She lived through Wilson Street. She was my cousin neighbor, Keegan Kevy, one just passed away about a year now. And they were they were her neighbor. And we would watch Debbie Ferguson. And we would be standing up with heavy duty firearms. I'm talking 12 gauge and 357 magnums and 9mm. Not to say I'm here boosting violence. That's just how it was. But I said at the same time, we respected what she was trying to accomplish, because we all wanted to be something special like how she was. And we said one day how she used to run around the neighborhood, and we would stand up and we would make sure that no one bought her there before it was in McKenzie. You understand? And she lived right in Wilson Street, Hay Street, Lewis Street, and Taylor Street. And she trained in that community for many years until her and her mom moved with a two-bedroom wooden house to Wilson Street. And she came from nothing. So to show you, so that's how I was. I hated those type of crimes. Breaking in the community, bottom of young girls, bottom of young boys, unnecessary causing problem, you have to deal with me. And that's how it was. And that's why I'm still living today, because everyone respected me for that. Okay? And the times that I got locked up for those incidents, they were all violent crimes. And like I said, that's because it was a gang thing, and everyone had to defend themselves. Yeah? Okay? So that's the kind of person I was when I was a gangster. And we were fighting for a reason. We were fighting because the area is getting taken over, and there were a lot of violent criminals roaming the streets. You know, and there were a lot of male persons who come to prison who did 20 years, 25 years, and they came out homosexuals. And there were many of them on the streets, raping little boys and killing little boys. So we had to get together as a group. And guess what, people? We were only 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And we had the biggest set of guns. And we traveling in the numbers of, listen, the last I used to walk in the streets with, when we first started the gang, it's about 50 persons. On a given Friday, we have like 500 assembled. Junkanoo time, we get close to 1,000 young males, ranging from the age, and females, ranging from the age of 13 straight to about 30, and all of us used to hang together with not one grown up. And you know who was the leaders? Me, James Charles, Nelson Cooper, and Ronald Bowman Pratt, and a few others were the leaders. And that just to show you. And imagine being that age. Okay, so I just wanted to get it clear. We're going to our topic today. I was a good guy. I was a protector. We could play the clip.
To build a more inclusive economy for all Bahamians, starts with the creation of opportunities and expanding opportunities. Opportunities to me mean opening doors for everyone and building ladders to success and security. You know, when we took office in 2021, the country was in deep crisis and we have recovered remarkably. But recovery is not the end all. Because even at the best of times, our economy was never sufficient to provide all the opportunities for the people of this country. One of the ingredients of ensuring that opportunities are seized is one, training, two, upskilling, and three, we have to build more ladders for success. And each rung that goes up to that, we have to be there to help each other grasp upon it. We have to also provide the path to be able to grasp those opportunities. We have to try to understand what might be the obstacles that might be in their way. And let's knock those obstacles out of the way.
The Prime Minister is talking about the initiative to empower the next generation of Bahamians here in the country. We have been going back and forth hearing Prime Ministers make these same speeches, but yet still have been unable to execute at the highest level when there's a sense of urgency going on in our country. Yes, a sense of urgency, and we're not reading through the lines, but I read through the lines because I feel for the poor, because I come from poor and I'm still poor, and I see thousands of Bahamians every day in the streets of Nelson, New Providence, who are struggling day by day, just trying to make ends meet. And we have some tragic incident that is happening in our country that we are not paying enough attention to. Yes, the Prime Minister is talking about this initiative, and I think he intends to execute it. I don't know if they're going to have the time to execute it. I don't know from day one, when you became the government of the country, that you didn't start this initiative from day one. But it's going into election now, so now both major parties who are both led the country as the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has come up with their 10-point plan. And like I said, you know, we have to execute. And here are some of the problems that we are facing in the country. And we need to build up the communities. We need to train. We need to empower. We need to educate. And we need to develop in order for us to see a change in this country. Not just by talks and talking about 10-point plan, man. We have all these plans already. We don't need to make this a big topic. All we need to do is turn it into a national plan, like Mr. Bass stated. And I've always stated this, that don't care who government comes in, we stick with this plan to empower people. We stick to this plan to build houses every year at an affordable rate. We make sure we can assist people with small business. We can make sure, see how we can get social service to be more hospitality towards its clients, which are the citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, instead of mothers having to go through all the hassle just for a voucher. I think it's about $140 or $160. You know, it's crazy here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know, and a lot of pressure on a lot of people, you know. And we're not going to be able to change the direction of the country unless we are able to empower the people, teach the people. Okay? Let me read. Things like this are very important. And we need these things to be initiated in the inner city community, in the homes, in the schools, in the churches as well, because all those are learning institutes. Things like this make me come on the show and express myself, and hope that those who are listening can see that I'm very compassionate of what goes on with our country and our citizen. And I also want them to be very passionate and understand where I'm coming from. 13-year-old dies in house fire, house inferno. Heartbreaking screams for help as neighbors tackle blaze in vain. I just want to read this. A 13-year-old boy died when a fire broke out at the friend's house. He was staying overnight. Overnight, turning the building into a blazing inferno. The The hard-working cries of the youngster screaming for help fill the air as neighbors try desperately to rescue him. By breaking windows and throwing buckets of water at the single-story wooden house in Crown Haven, Abaco, at 3 a.m. on Monday morning. But their valiant effort were in vain, and the boy identified as Montana Ferguson, God bless your soul, and condolences to the family, died at the scene, very sad. Homeowner Scott and their three children escaped but lost everything in the fire. It took firefighters nearly an hour to arrive. Listen now, people. Now, I'm not saying if the fire truck did reach earlier, the child still would have been living, because, you know, a fire, it only takes a spark, and it only could take about a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes to really get ablaze and to kill somebody. Time is very short with the smoke, you know, you and the heat alone, you know, you probably would die from that. So I'm not saying, you know, if the fire truck was there, but to take an hour, you know, that's crazy. So let me just finish reading this. Caller coming right now. So it took them an hour to arrive from Cooperstown, about 40 to 50 minutes away. By then, the house had been completely destroyed. Well, again, the MPs of this particular community and the residents who live in these communities need to come up with their 10-point plan too, and to make recommendation to the opposition candidate, and to the MP of that constituency, to make recommendation on having a fire truck station put in vicinity of their community, so that the fire response can be within probably 5 to 10 minutes, you know. And again, I feel that if training organization, government organization like Urban Renewal, working along with the fire department, doing a little weekly fire expedition in the schools as well, and in the communities, teaching kids, you know, who are using one burner stove, who are unattended because either the mother or daddy is going to work and cannot manage the kid at that particular time or watch the kid because, you know, the time frame of work. So they have to leave the kid at home in order to earn a living for them to keep a roof over their head, man or woman. So, yeah. So, like, again, I was trying to say, you know, the time response, you know, could have been better. And if we teach them how to use a fire extinguisher, you know, Urban Renewal is in that particular community, it is built there. It has connection to numerous organizations that has fire extinguishers, or government can personally buy these fire extinguishers. And then the community, along with Urban Renewal, could set up a day where they would have a particular training and show the kids how to use a fire extinguisher. If a fire start, what to do, how to tell you, how to go on the ground, if there's too much smoke, all these tips, you know, the tips that I'm talking about, you know, there's so many tips that they could teach the kids, and kids learn. And if they learn these things, maybe this could be a precautionary measure of them saving their lives, because if a fire starts, the first thing they're going to do is throw water on the fire. And if grease is in the pan, we all know it's going to explode and cause a bigger fire. That's what people don't understand. That's why a lot of fires is escalating now, because a lot of people will be cooking, right, with the oil on the stove. And when you see the curtain catch, you know, you panic and you just go get some water and you take this water and you throw on this fire. But you don't know, when you throw the water in the fire, they explode and then bigger fire, boof. You know, we have to teach and learn. You know, so I think that these are steps we have to take. You know, these are just some of the recommendations. I'm going to take this call.
Yes, sir. Good night, Scrooge. What's going on?
Everything good. What's up?
Not bad, man. Scrooge, I listened to the Prime Minister just now about obstacles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge, and you talk about point plans. None of them got a livable wage in their plan. You know, Scrooge. If you got a business, right, you need workers, right?
Oh, yes.
Most business need workers. Some need 2, some need 3, some need 100. How much workers supervisor you get?
Yeah, well,
in other words, everybody can't be business owners. There would always be workers. These are poor people. So why you not? These poor people need a livable wage. All these poor mothers and things. They want the poor mothers to be able to carry the kids to a program, after school program. The poor woman, he got to catch a bus from work. She got problems getting from work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can't afford enough money to buy. Yes. To buy a bus ticket to work.
Yes.
And feed the children, put clothes on their back, and the like.
There was a lady in the spotlight the other day. I'm not saying cutting you off. There was a lady the other day in the newspaper who was sitting around, who couldn't even send her kid to school, you know? Who couldn't even send her? She didn't have no shoes, no clothes, no backpack, no money, no nothing.
And you know what they do? They wear every time the kid can't make a good living on these people who on the radio and things who making big money, college degrees, they won't blame the parent. All the parent, this and the parent, that.
No.
What's this? When they accuse the leaders of drug dealing when they dead or living, they saying, oh, you can't. You know what I mean? Say that's about the dead, or you can't say that's about the leaders. They saying everything with the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? But Scrooge, watch this. Right? That's just in the news today, the people I'm talking about, the commissioner leads talk about how much money they spend in the fire truck. X amount of million, right? Mm-hmm. Must be about 12 million.
Yeah, I'm going to play it soon.
Potato vehicles, right? But Scrooge, you ever see a fire truck without a firehouse?
No.
So you ain't never see a fire truck in the Bahamas with a fire. All these stations they have with fire trucks. Yeah, the fire truck can't even fit in the station.
Mm.
So what that tell you?
These
people selling us dreams.
Mm.
You can't buy a fire truck without building a station, a firehouse. Whole thing is supposed to be in a station in the house.
Yes, yes. And every highly dense populated community in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that is a highly populated, means over 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people supposed to have, once this is a community, supposed to have a fire station.
A firehouse?
Fire station. Fire station. That's what we're talking about.
A fire station. They got a fire truck on the police station. Come on.
No, that can't work. No, it's supposed to be separated from itself. You know, or they could be
a compartment and build a house.
Right, one on one side and one on the next side.
Like, and bringing up the house, the truck in.
Right.
It's good. You know, they talking about. See, and they don't want private. They want everything be private. The bus. You know what I mean? You go to the U.S. The metro bus, they owned by the government. You know, they ain't owned by they don't be unified in the bus. They need to take over the bus. They need to pay them people for their their busing thing. Give them the investment back where they could get some other license for the bus, some tour license or something.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But they need to take over the bus. And then you're looking at BC, you know, see, they're doing the BC and BPL, they call it now.
Yeah.
They sell everything. They sell the only thing they own in is the building.
Yeah.
All the transmission, all the generation, even in the renewal stuff, they privatizing them things and they don't wait.
Yeah.
You know,
they
selling you dreams that all the building be this and, you know what I mean, and it costing them less. They can't afford to do it themselves.
Mm.
Come on, Scrooge.
Yes. They
selling us dreams, bro.
But anyway, thanks a lot. Yeah.
But anyway, bro.
Thanks a lot for your comment, man. I understand, they're selling this dream. That's why I'm saying these things is already on the books. You know, it's just that every time election come around, they still going to try us, you know. They're going to keep on trying us, you know, and we just got to ask for more, you know. Every highly dense community that has citizens, But over five, it could be 500. It doesn't matter. Should have a clinic, should have a fire station, should have a helicopter, because we are making billions of dollars on these communities. How it is that some developer could come here and invest $200 million in a project, but yet still we don't have $200 million invested in the whole community to have all the resources, like, you know, ambulance, fire truck, clinics, you know, the basic things. You know, you need a boat just in case for transport. You could have a helicopter, you know, and et cetera, and et cetera. I'm going to play this clip, and then, Cole, I'm going to come to you. Yeah, the plan. I think, which one we played? Let's go play that.
Active activities. We'll have a helicopter here for the United States Coast Guard doing a search and rescue operation. We'll also have patrol boats from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force doing search and rescue operations as well. We'll have a kids' family fun zone area and eats. And so it's just a family get-together day so we can promote maritime safety throughout the Bahamas.
We're trying to reintroduce the legacy of Bazar. You know, the Bahamas is huge, and to expect the government agencies to have search and rescue support throughout the islands is virtually impossible. So there's a tremendous need for volunteer services throughout the islands. When you get here, you'll see the emphasis on life rings and life jackets and safety. So you'll quickly understand that that's what it's about. And this is only the beginning. You know, this is teething pains and everything, but we have support from vendors, and we're starting with those that are in the safety or medical side of the business, and then we'll expand it and bring in more and more persons to support what's a great cause.
Well, you know, I was on to something. Bajer is trying to reintroduce themselves back to the Bahamas again. They want to go, what they're doing, back to the family island, teach kids about maritime, teach them with safety. And these are things we have to do to each and every family island. And we could start at the schools by teaching them, like, again, teach the kids. You know, we have a fire problem in the country. You know, a lot of houses are burning down, and most kids are losing their lives. If you could teach them training in that category, this would be great. Same thing as Bajra. So we have to introduce programs that are going to be beneficial to Bahamian kids in the country, because they are the foundation of the Bahamas. And if you're not teaching them on how to protect themselves, how to empower themselves, how to educate themselves, how to take care of themselves, then we leave them to just do what they want to do and make bad decisions. Okay, we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian.
Hey, Scrooge, good evening. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up, buddy?
Call this the blind one, Papa.
I know that, Paul. Your voice can't hide, so go ahead, Papa.
good evening to everyone else who's listening. Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Bajra, I'm sure if I really understand what they were saying just now, but I could say that I remember the name Bajra and what they was doing for years in this country. And I think the majority, all the people, everyone, even the people whose families might need to be rescued or whatever, we appreciate what Bajra being doing.
Yes.
And whatsoever good idea they come back with and they want to, I don't know if they ever, I didn't know, sound like they did gone or they did stop it.
Come like, I ain't hear from them from years, you know. Okay. If they still existing, they have lost a lot of ground, because, you know, they, like you said, they were very popular back in the day.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe with people that say, stop everything you want the government to do, but is it some kind of incentive, or even us, the corporate citizen and others, you know, organizations like this were doing work like what Bajra was doing for years. We need to encourage them and see how we could support them. You know, even if it's just us and as regular citizens.
Yes, I agree.
Because you don't know when you're going out there or whatever, or they got to come with about. And I think that's maybe something we should invest in.
Yes, of course.
It may be like if they sell shares, we put the money together, get some more. They helicopters would they be using, right?
Yeah, they use a lot of. They have some of the most high tech equipment. In fact,
some of them planes, what is land on the water too?
They have a better response time than our our government, because, you know, they're really international. So our governments could learn a lot from them and also train a lot of Bahamian kids. Yeah. Yes.
Get to the schools, like you were saying.
Yes, get them to the schools and teach them.
Schools, yeah. So I got to move fast because I know your time may be running and I'm going to forget what a call is saying.
Okay.
I don't want to know your ass to the... Yeah, I know your ass to the...
You want to pick my brain? Go ahead. Let me see if I can... Go ahead.
And I'm going to put you in the...
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to know what they're saying or what you hear the people them saying. You know, I don't know if you hear... You might have missed the show when... I think it was one show on another radio station. The Minister of National Security was on and the question was asked, you know, about... I asked the question and I was asking him about maybe... investing like on the guys that move in Fox in prison, spending time, especially those who have to come out one day. Maybe I don't want to say don't pay attention to that who might never come out or who might be like difficult to read because everyone could change. But some time and stuff like that, you know, I don't know if they could ever come out, but maybe they could even be involved. I was talking about the University of the Bahamas and like BTVI and whatsoever, like involving them, give them some courses that to set, especially like I say, who come out might have degrees to be psychologists, people who could fix their condition, plumbers and different things. I was saying maybe bring it into the prison rather than them just sitting on and maybe studying, might, you know, criminality or whatever when they come out, so or revenge or something, and you know, do something like that. And he was saying, I mean, to my surprise, he said that's something what they have planned to do. That's something what the government going to do. Then a couple of days later, the prime minister was talking about a piece of property for BTVI and how he could spread it out, encouraging people to get involved when they won't pay you to train you, you know? And I was saying it was a good idea, so I was wondering what the guys them saying, what the people them saying, if you all hear about that story, and what you think about it the next. I don't know if you want to comment on it. What you think about it?
I think it's a great initiative. I think that we need to understand as well that most people who are in prison, some could be innocent. There are some who are guilty. But who are we to judge? Yeah. The only person I would judge.
I think about the part that they got to come back out.
Yeah, that's why I said.
You treat them like dogs.
No, you can't.
Listen,
why? We can't. We could say what we want. But statistics have shown that guys who come out unrehabilitated, they come back and cause serious harm to the harmless public. We had the little guy. What's the little guy name? Who lost his name? Little Archer. Uh-huh. Remember him? Then we had the little girl, just Ariel, in Carmichael Road. Uh-huh. All those were poison who were involved in prison. Okay? The training, as far as putting BTVI in the school, in the prison, I think it'll be a plus because there are guys in there who want to learn hands-on and they'd be interested because they're not doing nothing. Go into classes, would change their mindset, and then they'd have
them.
Yes, they could turn professionals. They can turn professionals.
And, professional and professors to be there to come back, lecturers to teach.
Yes, yes, you know? Yes.
What you think about, I don't know if you all heard a story about the Rasta, the person who had locks there, and I'm going to jail because and I'm being convicted for murder.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying that people were saying that it's wrong to cut their hair, but I mean, we aware of that for years, all our life in this country. Like, if you go to jail, it's like you don't have no rights with that part. And I don't know if that's fair. What you think about it? People who say, well, that's my religion or whatever, but they being convicted for something. You think we need to accept that? What they say, how do guys feel about it? Are screwed?
First, let me talk with the BTVI. First, I didn't get a response. I was talking to somebody.
Could I get one more? I can leave you. You know, since
go ahead, write them down
so I can leave this one. And then maybe you could even answer the two. And if you don't really have to touch the last one. You were in the papers they were talking about this Joe Leader, Carlos Joe Leader.
Okay, I can't stop. Okay. I get you. Let me answer that voice then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlos Leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying, right, and the names he was calling and who he said he do these things with. One of the important things he said, but I don't know if everyone, if persons caught on, aware it or take notice of it, he say, whatsoever dealings he had, but whosoever that name is he called, who was the top person, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to offend nobody.
Yeah.
Make nobody mad.
Yeah.
He say he tried to keep that a secret, personally tried to keep that confidential. He say he tried to, because if you remember, when the case was going on, and questions was asked about that gentleman, he had nice things to say. If I could remember, he said, he only had nice things to say about that person. Mm-hmm. So now, he out now, 35 years later, they say, right? And this, the point is that it seems like he's writing a book.
Yes.
Most people, then, when they go through things, them, some people talk, and some people talk shows, they'll talk, they pass. Mm-hmm. Some people put it in writing, right? He's saying that, I don't know, it seems to me like some of these people who do the writing, and after they go through things, them, they either come to burn the truth or something, or come to burn some kind of event. No. So I ain't worried if it's true or not. But the point is what I think a lot of us miss. He say, he try to keep it confidential, and he say, what happened is that the person, who other person name was called, say, his son going in the court and say he's to be with his daddy to come do the thing, to pick up whatsoever. Yes. He say, so he let the, how you say it, oh, the bag?
Mm-hmm.
Say he's the one who let the information. You know, he say he try to keep it confidential, but I got to keep in mind, too, that when these people writing book, they ain't writing it just to tell the story, but it's to make money, too.
Yes. Yes.
Keep up the good work. You can touch them if you want.
Okay, I would touch it because most people, you know, want to hear these kind of comments from me. Okay, first let me answer the BTVI. As far as you ask me about the community, I talk about it on my personal, I give my personal assessment. I say that's good to put it in the prison. So I talk to some of the younger guys about the BTVI campus being built by the government high school and the opportunities that it will provide, especially with the government giving stipend, because, you know, most of these kids, you know, go into these programs, you know, they don't even want food to put in their belly, you know, and they'd be less interested to study. But with the option now of being able to get a stipend to come to classes, you would be more inclined to really pay attention, because at the end of the day, at the end of the week, you probably get $150 a coupon. So the kid would be relaxed knowing that he has some need. He or she would be relaxed. So they could go into barber, and they could go into nail technician. They could go into electronics. You know, they could go into any field they feel like they feel comfortable with. So it gives them the option. And in fact, it's a taxpayer's money. It's our money. So giving them the taxpayer's money for them to go learn and have an education, for them to become better productive citizen, I gives it a thumbs up. You know, because I've always been saying that we need to create BTVI and all avenues in these communities, along with BOMSI and et cetera, and small business development to give the option of the trades with the small business. And then you have the tourism industry, you have the junk industry, which combined together, there would be no reason for us to be unemployed here in this country. You know, there would be many workers. There were many business owners. And if there's many business owners, then we're going to hire workers. And then there's going to be a trickle-down effect. And we're going to be able to deal with some of the negativity happening in our community. We could deal with some of these issues of at-risk kids in our community. We could get together as business owners and people who now are living a better standard of life. You know, we're not living off $210 or $250 a week. You know what I mean? You don't have to work so hard for that no more. You know what I mean? You'd be less work in the community, just probably work a yard for a few days, 3 days, and you could get a $250. You understand? That's what you want. We don't want you to work from 9 to 5 for 7 days a week to make $250. No, that's not called for. You understand? So the BTVI, with the sniping that government wants to give to the students, very at risk, you're in school, it's a plus. Okay? I'm going to take this call and I'm going to answer your question when it comes to your comments made by Carlos Leader. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
And how are you today, sir?
I'm fine, sir.
You fine?
Yes, sir.
Are you the good gentleman who handles the program that comes on every Friday afternoon?
Yes, sir. That's me. That? Yes, sir.
Ah, let me say this. First of all, let me commend you.
Yes, sir.
For taking the initiative of training the kids fire safety this past summer. I think that was an awesome display on your behalf. And I think also that your children learned so much about being around your presence. They knew how to light a stove, how to put it out, how to use the candle, how to turn off the gas tank, and all of these issues. And that is you.
Yes, sir.
That's you.
I do programs in the inner city community of Grandstand. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
I do a lot of programs.
Well, but the thing is, do not feel embarrassed. That was a wonderful initiative on your behalf, because they learned something this summer that they would not have normally learned at all. They may have been running around, probably get in trouble, get hit by a stray bull, and voila, gone. But let me move on from that. And I want to thank you immensely for that initiative. Here we are. And the reality is this. We have 800 men who were sentenced to life in prison. What are we going to do with them? They speak about second chances. Are we prepared to form the 242 battalion and send 800 of them back to assist our sister Commonwealth nation in the Ukraine to fight against the communists because of their sovereignty? What are we going to do?
Mm.
It is a crying shame. It is a colossal shame.
Mm. Yes, sir.
We have to do something. Then they have the initiative. And they always keep in mind, they would not have been in that position if they were, if they did not offend, murdered somebody.
Yes, sir.
They have to pay the price.
Yes, sir.
Whatever that is, they have to suck up, say, yes, I want to go and have a second chance down in the Ukraine. They have to do that.
Mm.
As we move on, once that is accomplished, they get a second chance and they help shore up the persons who are there with the infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera, and get a second chance. But the other thing is now, when you look at our Fox Hill prison,
yes, sir.
What are we really doing? What are we doing?
Creating monsters.
What are we doing? Creating more monsters. Okay? More monsters. The prison is such a dire route. For example, I don't know for sure I've been to prison. Not that I've been to prison. I visited the prison many times.
Yes, sir.
But there are many persons. there was many persons who sleep. They tell me they sleep as many as 9 men to a prison cell. Well, if that is the case, immediately let us move 4 of those men out of those prison cells, or 5 of them. Let us spread out in the courtyard 300 cots and beds and tents so that they can spend at least 20 hours a day out there covered in the straw netting, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Put in additional tanks, sewer tanks, showers, 20 showers, 30 showers, whatever. People are human beings.
Yes, sir.
They have to bathe. They have to poop.
Yes, sir.
They have to have a sense of decency about them. And the thing, once they have minimized the amount of inmates in themselves, they allow the inmates to sit, not sit, but cleanse the entire cell. Let the poop machine go around and pick up from the slop bucket. Humane.
Yes, sir.
Not somebody sitting on somebody's bucket, Canada, and say, well, you know, that's it. It can't work.
No, it can't work.
Can't work.
No, it can't work.
So let's think. Let us build out an extension of the cesspit.
Yes, sir.
You need about 3 or 4 more of them. Put it up. You can build this overnight.
Yes, sir.
If they decide to do it.
Yes, sir.
Look, and then the one other, Lord, there's so much more.
Hmm.
There's one other aspect of this that they have to consider. For example, persons who were sentenced and on their way home, they should have a halfway house.
Yes.
And the beauty of this would be his mate is on the outside and he is on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But they simultaneously would go to doctors to see whether or not what kind of disease he may have contracted or she may have contracted.
Yes, sir.
And if that is the case, my brother, get a good jailhouse lawyer, get a good lawyer, and sue the government.
Yes, sir.
Because that should not happen.
Yes, sir.
That should not happen ever.
Yes, sir. You made some very good comments.
Pardon me?
I say you made some very good comments, sir. Thank you.
Yes, you know, we may as well stop from driving around.
Yes, sir.
And get it done.
Yes, sir.
And as a matter of fact, maybe we need to take a page out of the, what is it, Book of Quran?
Yes, sir. Book of the Quran.
The good gentleman, the good leader from Africa.
Yes.
Who have changed the entire
African
world.
Yes.
Let the prisoners out.
Yes. He said that.
Let them work.
He said that. He said that. He's going to give the country.
Build their own garden.
Yes, sir.
Let them feed themselves. Let them work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Work.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. He did such an awesome job. He's very passionate, the gentleman who called us now. And he said something very, 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 very powerful. He is talking about Captain, what his name is now, in the African country, the African president. But anyway, I got his name right in my head. He is transforming his nation. He is allowing the citizens themselves to participate, come up with creative ideas. He's been in them houses. He's been in roads. He's even saying that if you thief in the country, he's not putting you in jail. For petty offenses, he's not putting you in jail. There's infrastructures and there's projects need to be done. He's saying that if you won't go thief, you're going to have to go work. So it means your sentence is going to mean that if you get catch stealing, you are going to work to help build a nation. So you're not going to go into prison. Now, that's not for murderers and rapists. I think he has a different agenda for those type of crime. But for minor offenses, he himself is saying that if you thief in the country, you're not going to jail. You know, he's saying that the opportunities that he is providing for the country, and if you decide to thief, then you don't need the thief. And if you do decide to thief, you're not going to fall into prison. He's going to make you pay for your transgression. And he is going to put you to work. You're not going to be in the prison. Okay, let me play this last clip. I call you, give me a minute, I come right now to you. It's 7:30 now, so I have 30 more minutes, and I could let you slip in a few minutes for about 5 minutes. Go ahead, you can play the clip for me.
Public Procurements Board, which is a part of that vaunted public procurement process, has approved the purchase. That I was notified of that this week. I signed off on the cabinet paper to hopefully make the cabinet agenda next week. A part of what has to accompany the purchase of the vehicles necessarily is the construction of fire sheds to accommodate those. So for instance, you don't want a ladder truck, as happened in Grand Bahama, where it may not be able to be accommodated in a shed. And so the Public Procurements Board was interested in knowing, and the financial secretary specifically, that we're not going to be spending money and leaving these things out in the element. And so you might have heard that there's a proposal to build a new fire shed in police headquarters. And we had a meeting over that, I think it was yesterday. And hopefully that will commence shortly.
It goes to show that consecutive governments didn't have no plans for the Royal Bahamas Fire Branch. The conditions up there by police headquarters is inhumane. The trucks have to be maintained and they have to be put put in the shelter. You know, the caller was talking about this now when I talk about the station. And the caller was talking about the shelter, so I had that clip that I was going to play. So the caller called, and he mentioned it, but I was already getting to play the clip about that because I wanted to mention to the general public that it shows you that our government do not plan for us. How it is, you see how many fires we be having in the country, in different vicinities in the country. Our response time is slow. He talked about the elements. That means the fire trucks themselves didn't have a proper shelter. That means they were sleeping out in the draft. That means they were malfunctioned. They were not way good. The electronics and all that stuff, that is going to rust. That means we'd be spending close to $250,000 on a fire truck. But yet still, without the shelter, without proper maintenance, it rots. Okay? And the response time. Okay, and he's just talking about building a shelter by police headquarters. What about other places in National Province that we have to put strategic position in? What about on the family islands that need these fire shelters, you know, all around? Andres need fire shelters in different parts of Andres. You know, Chat Island, you know, Long Island, Exuma, you know, all islands need infrastructure. Where there's a population of people. So they don't plan for us. That's what I'm talking about. They don't plan for us. Only when something tragic happens, they respond. You don't think by now we're supposed to have fire shelters already built? That's supposed to be a mandate of talking to the fire chief and talking to the fire branch and asking them what they need in order to keep the fire branch up and running to respond in a timely fashion instead of 40 minutes to an hour where that young 13-year-old probably, like I said, you know, fire start quicken, you know, but I guess saying the fire engine is probably closer and the kid was screaming, so that could be anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes based on how they saying, how the resident was saying the young 13-year-old was screaming and they were throwing buckets of water inside the house. So you can imagine if we had a fire station in proximity of that community, maybe that could have saved his life and save the lives of so many others. Okay, we're gonna take this last call, and then I wanna answer my good friend when he called and talked about the comments made by Carlos Leader on the late great Sir Lyndon Penlyn. I just wanna give my comments on it since he asked. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes, what they have to say is very important, right? You know how many kids come out of school every year out of 12th grade? I would think that at least 5,000 of them. And only about, I don't think 1,000 of them going to COB. So that means BTVI, you know, BTVI been around for 40 years, so they just changed the name. It used to be Bahamas Technical College.
Yes.
And they could have never held 4,000 kids. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So your kids got to go work all type of places, bro. They got to go work to all these shops around. They, you know what I mean? They got to go work. These people got to pay these kids a livable wage. Even the head who go to COB guy can't stay in Obama because when they come, not even the teachers don't even stay because they, you know, the masons are making more money than the teachers. They can't even make a livable wage. These people got to stop. Screw it. Don't play with them. Thank you.
I heard the caller, so I think I understand where he's coming from. You know, he's talking about paying the kids. Of course, it's taxpayers' money. We're supposed to be paying kids a long time. There's not 4,000 kids going to go to a BTVY expanded in the country. And again, I always tell people this. I understand about the trickle-down effect. All right? I grew up in Grandstand. I grew up with the trickle-down effect. And this is what I talk about, trickle-down effect. The many small businesses that were established in the community around that time, we would normally be able to be a tour guide for the guests that comes in our community. You understand? Or we would go to the shop. So it was the economy in our community from the business owners. So the more business is created, the more persons are trained in technical field. They also train in the tourism industry that has so much to offer when it comes to work, when it comes to starting a business, okay, because there's so many different aspects of the tourism industry that can generate millions of dollars for a lot of persons who are unemployed in this country, from tour guides to taxi drivers, the hair braiders, to rent jet ski, to rent bicycle, to have in your own little small restaurant, your little Airbnb, braiding hair. You know, there's so many ways. And also, if you integrate John Canoe, being creative, making your own John Canoe artifacts to sell to the tourism ministry, all the guests that comes to our shore, then we would see a better Bahamas and better opportunities. But I understand what he's talking about, increase the minimum wage. Minister Tia Glover Rule talking again about trying to increase the minimum wage in the country, you know. But like I say, you know, it's tough in the country. And you know, we have a long, long, long way to go. You know, a long, long way to go. You know, so I want to comment to Papa comment. So Papa and everyone was talking about the statement made by former convicted Panama President Joe Lida. I only pulling your leg. He's working with your boy. I only joking. Joe Lida. I mean, I was talking about the Panama President. I know that you're saying all of them was connected to Noriega. I talked about Noriega just now because all of them basically ran to jail at the same time because they're both targeted by the U.S. But Joe Lida, on his comments made just recently after he was previous release. And according to history, he was able to establish a drug transport key in Norman's Key. And at that time, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas was the late great Sir Lyndon Pillen, who I personally worked with for many years from 1991 to about 1997. Until the Progressive Liberal Party won the next general election. He was a great man. First, let me just say that he's a great man. He did a lot of great things for the country. First, we have to understand that being a leader, you are faced with all kind of obstacles. So me and you can judge. I mean, we can judge if we've never been in the field. So we can judge. We were not there. But based on the information that this gentleman, who was known to be a big-time drug dealer, to be associated with the late great Sir Lyndon Pillen. Not that it diminishes his name, but no one is perfect. I am not saying he did what he did, the $150,000 that Joe Lida say he received. I can't say he did. I wasn't there. But allegation like this has been made public. They had a commission inquiry. Some of the names were mentioned were Bo, and that's what the gentleman was talking about, who said he picked up certain money for certain people to carry to certain prime minister. It was shown about a couple of months ago about one Mr. Nigel Bo's son talking about how he did transaction for his daddy and who he was connected to. And this Bo talked on his own father, you know. So if you ask me if there's some truth, I can't say. And just say, if it was true, we don't know the circumstances would enable him to be in those positions. And it goes to show that no one is perfect. Nobody. And everyone makes mistakes, okay? Everyone makes mistakes. He probably was a young leader looking for the best opportunity to represent. Didn't know no better. Who are we to judge? Name one of us who has lived a perfect life. Now, it's more on him as being a leader on the facts if this so-called allegation is true. Not to say, you know, how many people's lives have that affected over the years? And I'm not saying it to diminish. I'm just saying, how many lives, right? But you never know. This was that plan. Even if it was Lyndon Pillen who did that, we have to remember that was a national agenda. If you listen to the Lyndon interview when he did the interview with CNN, where he was talking to a news reporter, he stated, how can you America, right? He pointed and said, you America, with all your planes, your navy, and your love, millions of troops to guide your border, you expect me, my little nation, 700 miles, 700 keys, about 100, well, everything was 1,000 miles, not 1,000 miles, but 500 miles away, or 200 miles away from the Bahamas. You expect me, and my little small defense force, which is about 1,000 officers, and my Royal Bahamas Police Force, which is must be about 1,000, to stop drugs from coming in my small Bahamas, and you, America, with all the resources you have, the latest technology, you can't stop it from coming in your country. How you want me to stop it from coming in my country? Okay? That was the design thing. That's something that destabilized the whole Caribbean to bring drugs in the country. And they attacked it all leaders, not just the Lyndon. I'm not saying it's him. Hey, because their documentary is out there. That was a plan. Noriega from Panama. They tried, you know, just at that time, what that particular CIA organization was doing, and that was to destabilize communities that had black people living in it so they could steal the natural resources of each and every one of these Caribbean countries. Because a country that can be destabilized means that we destroy the family structure, we divide the people, okay, and then we let them pick two political party who we up a tie with, and we don't care who win, as long as we get our agenda and we steal whatever the country has to offer, whether it's the laws, whether it's protection of maritime, whether it's protection of our flag, whether it's protection of using our passport, whether it's protection of using our immigration, whatever it is, that's what they did. You know, so you just can't say, and look at it. Maybe. But he was human. He was human. And not only Sir Lyndon, what about other prime ministers in the country who we don't know nothing about? How do we know what Perry Gladstone Christie did? Huh? Because some of these guys have ties to some type of, I'm not saying he has ties, but a lot of our prime ministers seem to have ties with some big boys. Either before they become prime ministers, or YSA's law representative, check with the Honorable Brave Davis, the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He was representing 90 Knowles. Look at our Minister of National Security. He was representing Mr. What's the guy's name? We got here the other day. Monster. He was his defense lawyer. He even won $26,000 from Correct in a liable case against the police for unlawful detention. And Mr. Monroe, if I'm correct, in the newspaper, was his defendant. Now, he was a defense lawyer. He was a criminal lawyer. So you never know. you thinking we used to bad guys on the street shooting a gun, you know? But you could just be writing a pen and paper, and who you associate with can make you a bad guy, you know? You think because I pull the trigger, I's the bad guy? No, there's other ways of people being bad, so just being connected, you know, so we never know. You know, he might have made a mistake and changed his life. Every one of us made bad choices. He was young, you know, and maybe the day some of that decision that he made resulted in what we're going through now in the country. You know, so I just wanted to say that, you know. No one's perfect. And they did that to just about every prime minister in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We don't have no evidence. I mean, we don't have no evidence, but like they said, there was a commission inquiry. And now this guy came on. He wanted to make some money. Now he's out. He wants to make a name for himself. He knows selling a book would give him millions. So why not? You know, he needs some way of living. He's not going to go back and sell drugs. His time has passed. So maybe he's telling the truth. Or maybe not, but I don't know. But you know how it go. They say, like Papa say, you know, y'all, There's some type of whatever it is. Hey? And not saying them. Obama's government. This Obama's government. Our police and our defense force, what's supposed to be protecting and serving against legal narcotics and firearm, was actually involved with it themselves. You understand? Across the board. So, who was for? You understand what I'm saying? We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, Scrooge.
Hey.
Only God know. We might know, but only God know. Yes. I don't know if you made a mistake. Like you say, anyone can make a mistake, right? I know Bone Name was around back in the days, but I wonder if you meant Bannister.
I mean, excuse me. I made a mistake, yes. Let me apologize to that family.
Okay, I can move fast.
Yes, thank you. You're correct. I apologize to that name. I called it earlier. I got it mixed up. And that is the right name. I apologize.
I can move fast. I had to tell you also about the haircutting for so-called Rasta or the Rasta.
Okay, yeah.
Scrooge, I don't know if you follow the Jamaican election and going on the third wholeness, the prime minister.
He went again.
Yeah. Through the three straight, right? It ain't politics, but I want to touch on that part. I want to know, like, if you could pull it up maybe when you get a chance, maybe play it another time or even listen to it when you go home, when you have some time, where sometime in this last 5 years before the election was just going down, he said something to, the gangsters inside his party, the gangsters who support us, who might be supporting the party, because, you know, you get gangsters and different people from different constituency who support different parties.
Yes,
here in the Bahamas, right? On both sides, right?
Yes.
So this is what he said to them. You got to find it. I only paraphrasing it. He said, look here, that foolishness stop. You ain't coming here to make no money to buy no guns. We ain't giving no contract to y'all. He say, and if you do come to work, you got to come to work. You don't just sign your name the end of the day. You get money. And I wonder how connected that is to the Bahamas or how close.
There's no difference.
It ain't no difference.
There's no difference.
So you think we need a leader to say, because listen, he pissed a lot of people off when he say that? No. And guess what? The statistics is showing that crime gone down from all of the, what you call them things, them SOE or... emergency when they locked down the area.
Yeah,
he did a lot of that too, right? So they were saying that played a role with crime going down. So when you listen to the campaign, it sounds like a lot of the artists them and the settlers sing the gangster songs and reggae and stuff and things like that. Not all, but some were supporting them and stuff like that. I mean the PNP. On the other side, I call them the PLP.
Yeah, that's the PLP. They did the same thing. They work together.
And guess what? This golden man, who they call Mackie G, man, I don't know him. Like, I didn't know Brave Davis. I mean, the Brave Davis, who I didn't know before he became prime minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this man seems, he sounds similar, like going in his pocket and doing things and helping people and all that stuff. And guess what? I understand they only had like 14 seats. They get 15 more, so they must have 29 now. But the people still didn't pull it through. Guess what? Out of all the people who was registered, less than 40% of the people, must be 38% of the people, then were just like the last time they had a low turnout, even here in the Bahamas. People blame it on the pandemic. But guess what? Plenty of people frustrated. No, they tired of the politicians' promises and lies and just coming into this politics thing to empower themselves and enrich themselves.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if we have a low turnout voter. So these different parties, they got to go out there and encourage people.
Yeah.
People, them better people. People might get registered. They ain't go out there.
No.
Keep up the good work. I can finish listening.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I have a few more minutes. I think I want to get a while. It's 7:51. Yeah, a few moments. I'm going to let this caller get in about 2-3 minutes. And then I'm going to continue this conversation. You know, he was talking a lot. We give out contracts to a lot of high-profile guys who are criminally connected. Some deserve it, you know, need a second chance. Some go then do the job. Some just hang with the party and get free contracts. And I'm talking some of these contracts are big, and they do nothing for nobody. You know, they don't threaten the prime minister. They don't go there and make the prime minister look good. They make themselves look good. Instead of they go there and spread the well and make people say, you know, you can say, boy, that come from the prime minister, so I'm passing it on to you. This is a little small contract. I gave him a contract only at $40,000, right? So I don't need to keep the whole $40,000. Why not let me give one a $10,000 or $15,000 contract and about four or five other guys who through the corner there who could assist me? And I, you know, that's when five, six of them who I could have working for them, and they can make that extra $15,000. You know, and they could say this had a trickle down effect. You know, these guys take everything for themselves. Some buy guns, right? And they don't do nothing for the community, nothing. You know, but what he did in Jamaica is good, because now those guys would now be more open-minded, do things positive. They say, boy, if I get this contract and I get catched during any illegal activity, shooting or attempted murder or anything like that, my contract could get revoked. So these guys, they could think in Jamaica now. You know, they go work. They're not going to jeopardize that contract, that U.S. money they'd be getting from the government. So that means he's going to review the contract and give it to someone who qualified, who want to change their life, who want to do something positive. You know, and that's what you need to do also over here. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, call out. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Bless up, Scoochie.
Bless up.
Yeah, I was listening all along. I missed about half an hour. But, yeah, I don't know if you was listening to Mrs. Belinda Wilson today, right?
Go ahead.
Belinda Wilson, I don't know if you heard on the radio.
I heard a little piece.
Yeah, so I just want to make a little comment. You're talking about the contracts and whatever. It's self-interest there. So I don't really respect guys who make a living off contracts from the government for political affiliation.
They're destroying the country.
Loyalty, right?
They're destroying the country.
Why is it maybe? I might agree with what you're saying with the transformation, right?
Yes.
There's be evidence of that, right? But it gives room for like a little extra quotation to put something else in your pocket.
Yes.
But boy, who put the PLP in this area, right? I cool, but I never approach him for nothing. I was having a conversation with someone in the store and they said, approach this, but I don't need, I run my little thing there, right? And I satisfied and I still want to get, I wish I could retire, but I don't have the money to retire, right? And so I don't want to be for hire. You know, Royal Caribbean opened up on the posty shop over there, right? I still saying, like, for me, I wouldn't go and ask them for a job. I don't need a job. I really looking to get contracts from them. But the fact that they doing things like that, that shows you there's no trickle-down effect. Atlantis, I used to do contracts for them before the pandemic. They have their posty shop. That's what I'm saying. So I looking at all that. I don't need that. I still looking to have my own little private clientele and make this money. I ain't depending on no one. I ain't depending on God to keep me healthy to make this money. But I want to get back to what you was talking about, third world leaders and the construct. From the powers to the north, whatever. But if you take the bite or the bait, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, one of our ministers made a statement, called it entrapment, right?
Yes.
I call it encroachment. Now, what I'm saying is, why is it that when people in power get caught up in nefarious things, there's always a problem with me and you, the picky ear, but down the road, way. So now, I don't know how long you was reading, but I was actually... graduating from school when the Commission of Cry was going on, right, Scoochie?
I watched it on the news.
Yeah, but I'll tell you who I'm sorry that passed away that could have shed light.
The judge.
I know all it is. Paul Thompson.
Yes.
Thinker's old man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so with Paul Thompson alive, he would have been able to say all of these things. Now, I don't know if you remember reading. See, I read and I go, but you remember when they were saying the Colombians, allegedly college leader, whoever had hoisted a flag on Norman's Key. Come along with Colombian fly. You never read that.
Yeah, I heard it.
That's what I'm saying. And so and so when you read the stories back in the days between the Miami situation and here, and then all of the different stories in the books which is documented, there's no way for you to say that the people at the powers at Beach didn't know what was going on in Norman's Key. There's a whole lot of other incidents
yes.
that happened that you have to refresh your memory.
Yes, yes.
To make
yes.
a decision. I don't yes. know who did what. But you understand what
yes,
you're saying?
Yes,
Scoochie.
Yes,
this, you know where you crossed my mind to go back? When you talk about Nicaragua and the country deal.
All those going on the same time. Yes.
All these things in Time magazine.
Yes.
For people to go and read instead of coming on the radio, praising man and talking what man do, yeah. what man do. I don't know what no one do, you know, Scoochie.
Yes. No one perfect.
What no one do, and I don't care what they do, yes. but they weren't with me and you. When me's growing up on the road.
We make mistakes.
Scoochie, when me's growing up on the road. We never saw two certain things to keep the people off us.
Yes.
So when you hear people talk, high society people let them talk, mean you know the road run, you know. They call it the criminal justice system for a reason. It's a system. It's a money system.
Yeah.
You know right now, Scoochie, when certain people get touched with certain things, they don't even reach the news, right?
Man, you just see...
All right, then.
You see Johnson just tell are now deceased, so-called gang leader who was killed, Johnson offered, if he was to give $100,000 to Johnson for him to drop a case, and Johnson was the lead investigator by the Criminal Investigation Department, and he was taking bribes in order to let, I don't know if the guy was guilty or not, but he was getting investigated. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, you and I from the road. What I'm saying is, I don't want to comment on Johnson. That was a,
you know, no, but I'm saying that's what you're talking about. I'm just talking about this.
Yeah, but I say this, right? I'm a rich guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, right? Somebody runs a police entity. They call me and they accuse me of something. And they say, but if you give me this and you give me that, I wouldn't pursue you. I've had that, what happened with Fox. I've had that with other friends that they say, well, this is what happened. And there's no way they could have been involved in doing another friend. But this is just the tactics that people use to collect money.
Yes.
So this ain't nothing new, you know.
No.
This ain't nothing new.
No.
So we need a naive public. We need law enforcement, you know. We really need law enforcement.
Yes.
And, you know, we have decent officers. That doesn't mean you know this thing, though.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, when we turn a blind eye to everything, like I told everybody who told me this crime fighting thing, you got to start fighting crime from A.
The police?
Not C or D.
From the police as well.
Keep up your wits.
Yeah, so you have to start it with you have to take a look at the politicians. You have to take a look at the police because they were connected. You have to take a look at the Defense Force because it was a connection between them, the Royal Bombers Police Force. The Defense Force was working with guys on the street. Certain members of the Royal Bombers Police Force and the Royal Bombers Defense Force was working with known accused street criminals who was involved in selling drugs and murdering people here in Arsenal, Providence. Certain officers in both departments. And they had connections in other departments. And some of them you're never going to find out who all was involved because now they tail it between their leg and they're cleaning house. So I saw who was calling. You don't see everyone going missing? Everyone name who were being called on those voice notes of either being locked up. If police officers' name were called, they were either locked up or they are now off the force. Everyone else name who get called with the robbery, with the airport robbery, with being involved in it, and are all deceased. And anyone name who was being called and anyone who's innocent on Facebook, like the gentleman just last week, what his name is, what they call him, Monster? I know him too, you know. His name called a few months ago in connection, and he gone now. So if someone or a team of people or individually in cleaning house, huh? But you know, I'm going to go to jail. What? You think any senior police officer won't go to jail or any big time person who involved with this won't go to any jail? Boy, I sorry for who all involved or who was friends or when you was out there doing what you was doing and now all hell break loose with the authorities, FBI. Now they putting pressure on the Bombers government. Someone was telling me, say, in the case going on with Mr. Miller in court, they're saying that FBI agents would be sitting out in court. And when he gave his lawyer gave a no-case submission because he probably didn't want to feel that he did not know charges to answer. The judge said that he has a case to answer too. But people were saying that FBI was sitting on in the court to make sure that there's no corruption going on in the country. So, you know, that comment with Mr. Leader talking about Selinden, we don't know. He was young. Might have made mistakes. You know, but it goes to show you. You know, we look at the young people on the streets. And the one them gear, all kind of penalty. And like the caller say, when certain people get name get called, it's like, no, like people are perfect. No, I'm not saying, no people. Everyone make mistakes, okay? There's no perfect person on earth. But you can start to work yourself of becoming perfect. Coming from a kid, then you become a child. Then you become a teenager. Then you're going to make mistakes while she's a child. You're going to make mistakes while she's a teenager. And then as you grow, you'll start to see what you did was wrong. And then if you have any morals, then if you have any self-respect, right? And then if you was a person who have a conscience, you would change your wicked ways. That's why the Father said that if you change your wicked ways, he would heal the nation. Same thing as you. So none of us are perfect, even though the comments were made by Selena. Whether they're true or not, you know? Probably gave his life to Christ at the end of his day on his dying bed. May the Lord rest his soul, because he did a lot of great things. That don't mean he ain't did some things that were wrong. You think he was perfect? You think Hubert ain't gonna perfect? You think Perry Christie perfect? You don't think those guys was involved with some type of illegal activity or with someone who doing some type of illegal activity? Don't have to be drugs. It could be something else we don't even know about. Dangerous than drugs. We don't know. That's why he said it was supposed to keep a secret. We don't know. You know? We don't know. And some of these individuals are never going to get touched. Means they're never going to be investigated. But for me and you on the inner city community, we would get investigated. So some people are untouchable until the Father intervenes. Okay? So I hope you enjoy the show. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. That comes on every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And I thank you for tuning in this Friday. Enjoy your weekend and continue to strive for excellence. See you next week. Bless up, Elroy Bryce.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand.